humility. The late Dave Thomas, founder of the Wendy's restaurant chain, illustrates the learning value of humility in his book, which he wrote, Well Done, The Common Guy's Guide to Everyday Success. He wrote in that book that he said, I got my MBA long before my GED. Now, if you know anything about Dave Thomas, he never graduated from high school. But he continues, I even have a photograph of me in my MBA graduation outfit, a snazzy knee-length work apron. I guarantee you that I'm the only founder among America's big companies whose picture in the annual corporate report shows him wielding a mop and a plastic bucket. That wasn't a gag, he said. It was a case of leading by example. At Wendy's, MBA does not mean Master of Business Administration. It means mop bucket attitude. It's how we define satisfying the customer through cleanliness, quality food, friendly service, and atmosphere. That's what we're in pursuit of this evening. Humility. Having a mop bucket attitude. Dave's story sure does sound a lot like humility. That causes me to question exactly what does humility mean. And if you happen to look up humility in the average dictionary, you might be somewhat disappointed, as I so often am with various words. Dictionary.com defines humility as the quality or condition of being humble. Well, thank you for defining a word with a word. But it then adds, modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance, rank, etc. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines humility as freedom from pride or arrogance, the quality or state of being humble. So we know what humility is not. It's not pride. It's not arrogance. We know that it is a quality or a state of being. That quality or state of being is being humble. What does the Bible say humility is? Well, in the Old Testament, humility is said in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15 to be required of men. In fact, it's required of men as essential to be right with God. Isaiah said that it is with the humble in heart that the high and exalted one, whose name is holy, dwells. In the New Testament, the word is used to describe a state of gratitude where one understands the reception of gifts are by the grace of God, and as such, undeserved by human accomplishment. Thus, the truly humble man is not the one who exalts himself or belittles himself, but rather the one who does not think of himself. Instead, he thinks of others. Jesus is the prime example of humility in that he intentionally humbles himself for the needs of others. Thus, as we began to develop this idea of humility, we might recall and recognize that humility is not just the way we speak or the way we talk. It's the way we think about others. It's what we do towards others in meeting their needs. W.L. Walker warns against this false humility, as exemplified in Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. He wrote an article, in fact, on humility that can be found in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. W.L. Walker there describes two dangers that come about when we misunderstand or misapply this idea of humility. He says that the first danger is that we believe that only the sense of sin leads to humility. And that's sometimes how we have identified humility. We say that when one has sinned and they are willing to be contrite in heart, bring themselves low before God in repentance, then they are being humble. We challenge that thinking because Jesus Himself was humble, yet He had no sin. And if Jesus had no sin and yet He was humble, then it is a danger for us to think in terms of humility coming about by that of sin in one's life. Another danger of false humility is that of being proud of one's humility. At one time, I was working out with a man who said, "I am the most humble person I know." I think he fit the bill, both in what he said and the way he acted and carried himself in life, that he was proud of the fact that he thought he was humble. What does the Bible say about humility? It tells us that humility is more about the ways in which we think of others and the way in which we act because of others. The importance of humility shown throughout the Scriptures helps us to better understand what the Bible says about it. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15 that we made mention of just a moment ago, it's important because Christians need to recognize that without humility, God would choose not to dwell in us. Listen to all of Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. There he wrote, "For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on a high and holy place, and also in the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite." God is looking for hearts that are humble to be His dwelling. Thus, humility is important. But humility is also important because when Jesus taught the importance of humility, He chose to use an object lesson. In Mark chapter 9, verses 36 and 37, Jesus pulled a child before them. And taking the child, He set him before them. And taking him in His arms, He said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in My name receives Me, and whoever receives Me does not receive Me, but Him who sent Me." Jesus used a child to illustrate humility because a child is a humble fellow believer. Not believer in the sense of a saved individual, but believer in one who is following after Jesus. One that is teachable, one that is moldable. So if we're going to be humble and have humility, then we must be teachable. We must be moldable. This idea continued in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. There Jesus informed us about humility of small children and how they provide for us an example to follow after. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" Asking about something that would be the opposite of humility. "And He called a child to Himself and set him before them, and He said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Here we see that humility leads one to the kingdom of heaven. Humility also leads to the greatest of the kingdom of heaven. And we recognize that being great in the kingdom also includes service. And much like servitude, humility is a cardinal virtue within the kingdom. Peter had this to say in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5. He said, "You younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you, elders and younger men alike, and would serve for all in the church as well, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Here, Peter repeats the words of the Septuagint, the Greek rendering of the Hebrew Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. But just before this quotation, Peter had instructed them to clothe themselves with humility toward one another. It's interesting then that following this quote, Peter gives this instruction, verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time." See, Peter commanded that we be clothed in humility, verse 5, and that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, verse 6. So Peter says that there are things about humility that we can put on, and there are things about humility that we get to choose. We get to choose to humble ourselves. That term humble here meaning to bring low or to bring under one. Thus, each person decides whether to humble himself or herself. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul discussed some relationships there in chapter 6 and also back in chapter 5. And each one of those situations, it shows that we get to choose whether we humble ourselves. Each child, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, must choose whether to be humble and submit themselves to their parents' authority or to rebel. In chapter 5 and verse 22, he spoke to wives. A wife must choose whether to be humble in subjecting herself to her husband. A husband, verses 23 through 30 of Ephesians 5, must choose whether to humble himself under Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Paul discussed employees bringing themselves under the boss, under the master. So then that leads to the question of humility for us. What have we decided about humility? What have we decided to be our actions? What have we chose concerning following after God specifically? Have we given up our own will, given up our own desires to follow His will and to fulfill His desires? When we choose to humble ourselves and receive others in Jesus' name, we receive both Him and the Father in heaven. Again, it was Mark chapter 9 and verse 37 that Jesus said, "Whoever receives one child like this in My name receives Me, and whoever receives Me does not receive Me, but him who sent Me." He's speaking of one who is humble, one who is teachable and moldable. When we choose to receive others in the light that they are very tender, that they are fragile, and our words can encourage and build up, or our words can destroy, we then will view them in the light that Jesus calls one who is humble to view all people. The importance of humility is seen and demonstrated also in what would be our next point, that Jesus proved the greatness of humility. Jesus proved the greatness of humility by His very own example. Locate Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 is a passage in which, when I read it, I think of that gentleman that I used to work out with that made that statement, "I'm the most humble person I know." He shared a song in which the chorus of it comes to mind when I read Philippians 2. The opening line of the chorus of that song says, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." I think about that song because that's exactly what Jesus was. He was perfect in every way. He was perfect in every way. And if there's ever a temptation to not be humble, I believe it's found in that idea or thought when we think that we are perfect in something. It'd be a struggle. But even Jesus was perfect in His humility. Begin with me in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. He says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." Jesus came to earth in the form of a servant. He put on humility. He put on servitude. He became a servant, a bond servant. Continue verse 8. "Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." He humbled Himself in following God's will to the point of being put to death on a cross in order to obey God. He submitted Himself. He submitted His own desires to the will of the Father. Now verses 9 through 11. "For this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." It was through His humility, the humbling of Himself, that God highly exalted our Savior. How difficult it must have been to give up heaven to be a servant. How difficult it must have been to give up His right to live, to give up His innocence, to take on sin, and to die on the cross for us. How difficult it must have been to give up what He had. Verse 5, that He was God, and that He was equal with God, and to give it up in order to be exalted and receive a name that is far above every name. How difficult it must be at times to put down the things that we want because we live in the here and now. Society is pushing us from every side to live for the moment. To do what you want to do. Sow your wild oats. Live the way you want to. Life's short. Live it up. Live life to its fullest. Jesus is calling us by His example to give up our life upon this earth so that we can have something far better, something far greater in the future. Will you give up your life for something greater? Humility is willing submission to God's will, Psalm 131 exclaims. In summing up humility, Dave Phillips typed these words: humility is an inward submissiveness, a modesty in self-perception that is evidenced by a marked change in behavior towards others. What you give up to follow and to do for others. God promises what you give up for Him, He will restore to you above and beyond. Will you give up your life on this earth to have the life that God wants you to have with Him in heaven? It's going to take humility. But what exactly does God want from us? What exactly does God want in one who is humble? In Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, we read about some people who trusted in themselves that they were more righteous than others and viewed others with contempt. There Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. He prayed silently. And that causes me to question exactly why was he praying silently? Was it because he was trying to do as Jesus had instructed his followers to pray in their closet? Not to be ones to stand on the street corners and pray and make long prayers and petitions to God to be a show? Or was he praying silently because the words which he uttered in this prayer were words that he was not willing to speak to the face of those he threw under the bus? The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. This man puffed his chest out in pride. He commended himself for not being a sinner. He thanked God that he was not like other people. People he would probably say he couldn't stand to be around. He declared how much he gave and how much he fasted. Thus we might say that he told God just how much he had sacrificed and just how much he had suffered for God. Telling God all that we have done well is in vain, for He can see, and He Himself can judge and even understand the sins which we wish to hide by taking the attention off of our sins and placing it on the things we have done right. This man acted like he wanted heaven to take notice of him and what he had done. So what sin was he hiding? Verse 13. Jesus said, but the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. This man pounded his chest in humility. He wouldn't look up to heaven with his eyes as though he was unworthy. He didn't mention his giving. He didn't mention his fasting. He didn't mention the things that he did for others. He only mentioned his sins as he confessed that he was a sinner. Telling God all that we have done wrong is very humbling. And it makes one humble because they then plead with God to forgive and for God to strengthen. Verse 14, we find Jesus saying that, "I tell you, this man who was humble went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Look with me at James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, James wrote, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of God, and He will exalt you." That word translated as humble, tapenoo, is a word that means to make low or to bring low. And James is saying that those who want to draw near to God in worship must first humble themselves. Take a look at Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. A very familiar passage from the Old Testament. Micah chapter 6, we'll actually begin reading in verse 6. The question is asked, "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high?" Bow, humble, bringing oneself humbly before God in worship. "Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings or yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What can I give? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." God wants us to give up trying to do things on our own. He wants us to stop thinking that we have all the answers. He wants us to stop making things go our way. He wants us instead to readily accept and to readily do what He wants us to do. Coming to that realization, the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, Jesus told about him returning to our Father after departing in search of sinful fulfillment. All we who sin recognize ourselves in this wallowing in the pig slop of iniquity. We've been there. We've done that. We rejoice then when we see, as we watch this man return back to his Father with repentance in his heart, and are encouraged when his Father meets him and accepts his apology. God calls the prodigal in all of us to come without delay and to be redeemed. But the proud man would never come back. The proud man would never beg for mercy because he has not learned the truth of Micah 6, verse 8. He's not learned to be humble and to submit himself to God's will. And to submit himself and allow God to be in control and to get him out of the muck and the mire and the pig slop of sin. But thankful this prodigal son did. And this prodigal son shows us what humility in the Scriptures is all about. That it is a prominent Christian grace. We find in the book of Romans chapter 12 and chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 4 verses 11 through 13 and numerous other passages that we could cite. It's a Christian grace. It's one we must learn and develop. It's one we must put on. It is a state of mind that's well-pleasing to God. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 4. It preserves the soul in tranquility, Psalm 69, verses 32 and 33. It makes us patient under trials, Job chapter 1, verse 22. Christ has set us an example of humility, Philippians chapter 2, 6 through 8. And we should be led thereto by remembrance of our sins, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 39. And that should bring us to the thought that it is the way to honor, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, and that the greatest promises that are given in Scripture are given to the humble, Psalm 147, verse 6, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 5. Thus it is a great paradox in Christianity that makes humility the avenue to glory. God wants us to humble ourselves so that He can exalt us. It was Jesus that will bring us salvation. In fact, He will bring salvation to those who believe Him. Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. He'll bring salvation to those who have turned from their sin in repentance. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. He'll bring salvation to those who have confessed Him before men. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Christ will bring salvation to those who have been baptized, immersed in His name for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. He'll bring salvation to those who have continually waited faithfully for His return. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 9 through 18. Every part of those to whom salvation will be brought. Every part of their becoming a part of Christ and receiving salvation involves humility. It takes humility to believe Him. It takes humility to turn away from sin. It takes humility to confess Jesus. It takes humility to make that step and to put Christ on in baptism. It takes continual ongoing humility to remain faithful to God. The question is, will we humbly submit to God's will? And will we do so recognizing that by our humbly submitting to Him, we will face persecution. Persecution from the world who doesn't understand humility. Face persecution and hardship and difficulty because the Christian life's not easy. Will we humbly submit to God's will when it's not what we want to hear? when it's not in keeping with what we want to do, will we humbly submit to Him? Christ, our ultimate example, did just that. He submitted to the Father's will in order to give us the opportunity to be with our God, to have our sins forgiven. And He's given us this great occasion to study His Word and to understand a little more about humility and to afford someone the opportunity to make things right. If you need to make things right with God, Isaiah 57 and verse 15, come humbly and He will exalt you. As together we stand and sing.